Welcome to the Breakfast Leadership Show, where we interview global thought leaders on business, leadership, and life. Here's your host, keynote speaker, best-selling author, and chief burnout officer of the Breakfast Leadership Network, Michael Levitt.
Welcome back. I've got Aaron Marcus. Aaron, how are you?
I'm awesome. I'm excited. The sun is shining. How bad could it be?
Exactly. Sun shining here too, which is a rarity because I'm in the 416 area code instead of the 619, which normally has sun all the time, but it's been a cold winter in San Diego. So all the
been a warm winter in Chicago.
all the natives are happy. And I said, well, do you want a Chicago winter? And they look at me, go, no, we'll be happy with the 60s. We'll just stay with that. So
we had 60s for winter too. It's weird. Yeah. The world is officially coming to an end.
Exactly. So, you know, I've got my chips stocked up and looks like there's some canned veggies over there. And
exactly. We do what we can do in the meantime.
I've got a granola. Looks like a box of granola bars there.
And
some hand cloths, which maybe that's to wipe up. I'm not sure. But it's funny what this room is because it's my studio / pantry / there's a bag of donations there, dog food.
So it's an everything room. Instead of an everything drawer, you have an everything room.
Yeah. And, you know, side note for those that want to launch podcasting and you're going, okay, yeah, you know, I got to get those, you know, sound deadening things so, you know, there isn't an echo. No, just, you know, put it in a room like a closet or a pantry or store some crap in it and does the same thing. And it's more functional than a bunch of sponge things on the wall. But just saying. But so
look, not so hard. Not so hard.
No. So for those that aren't familiar with you, a subscriber of your newsletter, and I follow your work and appreciate everything that you do. Why don't you share a little bit about you and we'll dive into this conversation.
Awesome. So the official marketing speak, right? Aaron Marcus, founder and CEO of Conquer Business. And what we really, really specialize in, there's a couple pieces of it, but what we do is help people get from my boring version was from business operator to business owner. A client of mine came up with a much better way of saying it. I help business owners go from me to we, right? From doing all the things themselves into owning a business. And really what's interesting is it's not more work, it's different work. A lot of people don't take this route or are scared to take this route or they try this route because what they think is moving into a business ownership is going to be like crossing the bridge, right? We're going over the bridge. We think the bridge is like a stone bridge in a garden and there's a creek and there's a grassy knoll. And then we start our journey and we find out it's really the Indiana Jones Bridge. It's on fire, right? And there's a guy at the other end with a sword that just makes us turn around and run back. And so what I try to help people with is understand it's not more work. It is different work. And it's totally attainable. It's all of reframing. And I like to describe it as what I do is I work at the intersection where what you need to do meets who you need to be to do it. It's not the fluffy life coaching version. It's what do I need to do in the moment to get to what I said I wanted, because the plan doesn't matter if you can't do the plan, right? So we find it's strategy over tactics every time as I continue to pontificate about what the hell it is that I do. But it's strategy over tactics every time because the strategy has to fit your goals, your strengths, not worry about your weaknesses, not make you feel bad about yourself for not being able to do something and really create what it is that you want with intention.
Yeah, and it's a reminder of going back to before you even signed up the paperwork or registered the domain name or any of the legal stuff is what did you want this business to accomplish? And what I find time and time again, and I see entrepreneurs that burn out and just had a chat this morning with somebody on that is doing quite well, you know, follow them on social media, I've had them on my show. I'm not going to mention who it is, but you know, they said they're burned out. And so I sent them a PDF copy of my book and I said, read this, please. And, but they said, I already did. I'm like, oh, cool. So
you, read it again.
So you and my mom bought my book, you know, awesome. That's great. Yeah. I didn't know my mom bought my book until, you know, unfortunately recently she passed. So I was going through some stuff of hers and I saw the book. I'm like, I didn't send her this one. I'm like, oh, she bought it. All right. That's cool. You know, thanks, mom. You know, you're always supportive, even towards the end. But what I find is when people are in that space, they they get to the point and they're doing so many things. And I get it. You know, when you start, you're doing everything. You're doing the marketing, you're emptying the garbage, you're whatever your business is, you're doing everything. And I get it because you know, trying to build up some revenue and all that. But I find, and I'm guessing you will agree on this, is we often wait too long to take that step across the bridge.
Well, it's because I find, interestingly enough, women are worse at this than men in general, not always. But people who come out of corporate actually will often do a better job at this because they have this experience where they weren't the only one in the world doing all the work. And I'll say that, you know, there's a couple reframes that have to happen. Number one, yes, there's some bootstrapping that has to happen if there isn't the finances to do certain things. But if back in my corporate life, if I would have gone into the, you know, finance department and logged in a whatever bill pay they had and started to try to pay bills and started to try to create reports, I would have been chased out with, you know, torches and pitchforks because that wasn't my job. So why am I doing that now? Are you treating your business as your business or are you treating it as something you're just trying to do? Because those are different decisions. And I'm not saying spend money you don't have. However, the right team, the right support makes you money. It doesn't cost you money. And that, the mistake I watch people make over and over and over again when they start to consider adding somebody to their team, even if it's a vendor, even if it's part-time, is they go for somebody to take a task off their to-do list. And if that's all you're doing, all you've done for yourself is replaced doing the work with managing the person. That's not less work. This is different, right? That's not less work. That doesn't solve the problem. It just gives you a different problem. If instead you got brave enough to hire for horsepower instead of just a task rabbit, what would be possible in your business? Don't hire a person to do exactly the thing that you tell them they need to do. That doesn't take less time than you doing it. What takes less time than you doing it is someone who you can sit down and there's an onboarding time that has to happen, but somebody who can be, they're an expert in what they do. So all you need to do as the business owner, to me, a business owner is a vision caster. You're a vision caster. Cast the vision, set the parameters, you get veto power, but then get out of their way. Don't hire the person to manage your calendar and create your processes and then micromanage their job. If you need to micromanage it, you fire the wrong person. I don't create any of the processes in this business. No good can come of me screwing around with the CRM, creating workflows and deciding how things has to happen. I'm going to break it. So the people who have to work in it every day, they create the processes and they teach me my little part. I don't have to be in charge of that. I have to know that it's in there. I have to know how to get to it, but I shouldn't be creating that.
You know, I see that so often too. The owners will say, I'm not micromanaging, but I'm like, well, if you're dictating every step of what they're supposed to enter into the spreadsheet, maybe you are. And this was a hard lesson for me to learn. And I'm glad you mentioned the corporate thing, because in my background, I was corporate for a long time, then I went into nonprofit. And while I love the people in nonprofit and I love the work that they do, and then this may come off as being a little abrasive, they tend to dumb things down a bit. And
they don't treat their businesses like business.
No. And what I found, especially on my entrepreneurial journey, even in my nonprofit business and starting, it was a case where I wouldn't delegate. I wouldn't let go. And I was doing all of it. And I know it was Jim Rohn that said this, and I know Brian Tracy mentions this a lot too. It's like, you know, going back to the task analogy, it's like, okay, you have a task, you know, the accounting or the finance. Okay. As the owner of your business, what is the salary that you demand?
Absolutely.
Now, and you say, okay, let's say I'm making $100 an hour, $200 an hour. You know, okay, great. Awesome. Would you pay somebody $200 an hour to basically do your books? If you do, I'll give you my number because my original career is in accounting. I can do that for $200 an hour, be more than happy to it. I don't care for accounting anymore. I'd much rather not. But, you know, at two Benjamins an hour, I can get over my ill.
And the second half to that, though, is don't then replace. Okay, you get past it, step one. And by the way, this is like a continuum. This doesn't happen overnight. This is like decide to move towards this and give yourself 3 months, 6 months to move towards the outcome. But if you hire someone to take the tasks off your plate that do not move your business forward, don't replace them with doing more tasks that don't move your business forward.
And that's the big thing too, is, and why your work is so critical for entrepreneurs that are trying to go from, and I love the me to we thing. That is,
yeah, right.
Yeah. I was going to say, Mel, that's a good job. I don't know if you can trademark that since it's a little generic, but you can try. Sure. I mean, I got Breakfast Leadership trademarked. That was a surprise, but I was like, I'm like, okay, this is a little common. And the attorney said, you got about a 20% chance. So I should have went to Vegas. I probably would have. I should have bought a lotto ticket, because when I got that thing in the mail, I'm like, whoa, okay, cool. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, bringing in, you know, someone like you to kind of peel back the vision, because we get tunnel visioned as entrepreneurs.
Well, the other thing you said, like, why? Not that it has to be me, but why does a strategist matter before anything else? The other mistake, because you'd ask, like, what do you see happening? And I said, you know, they don't hire soon enough. But the other, maybe you said it, but the other mistake that I watch happen over and over and over and over again, and it wasn't real obvious to me in the beginning, but it's become really, really clear. Entrepreneurs, small, but they try to solve every business problem with a marketing tactic, when what they have is a strategy problem. I have one client right now who we found, it's a $500,000 business. We changed three or four things that they're doing. None of those things cost money, and found another $1 million in their business. They can, if they just do these three things differently, they can make an additional $1 million in their business in the next 12 months. I had another client, we did it and came up with another like $300,000 that they can honestly make in the next 6 months, not by spending any more money, not by adding a tactic, not by doing more work, but just by rearranging from a strategy how they're doing a couple of the things they're doing. So instead, what people do is they're like, I want more, I want a bigger business. I know what I'll do. I'll start a podcast. I'll write a book. I'll put together a webinar funnel, whatever tactic. By the way, there's nothing wrong with any of those tactics. There's zero problems with any of those tactics. If it's the right thing for your stage of business, for your type of business, and that's the part that people miss. The downside, if you call it a downside, is people who market marketing tactics are good at marketing. Like, this is a good thing for them. We're not mad at them for being good at what they do. But if you don't have your ducks in a row, and if you don't have your world dialed in, you can become susceptible to them being good at what they're doing while you're on shaky ground, because you're trying to put, you know, what's the phrase? You're trying to put a square peg in a round hole or whatever. You're trying to solve your business problem with a marketing tactic, and that might not even be the problem.
And you know, I see that time and time again with people, and the marketing ideas are great. You know, and that's
specific.
And that's difficult for a reformed accountant. That's my brother's nickname for me. So you say something about marketing people. No, I love marketing people, and you know, my one, I don't have a regret, but I wish I would have taken a few more marketing classes in university, because it probably would have helped shorten the curve a bit on me venturing out and doing.
But that's a perfect point. That, you know, that is such a brilliant, perfect point as a business owner. Why would you assume to know everything? I know what I know. Like, if we want to go to the extremes and say you're a dentist, being the best dentist in the country has nothing to do with being the best business builder in the country. So why would you be mad that you don't know how to do that? The amazing thing is there's really smart people out there who do know how to do that. And you can call them. They will help you.
Exactly. And having worked in the healthcare industry, brilliant clinicians, doctors, and all that, majority of them suck it.
I was like, they all retire broke when they're in business for themselves because they don't know how to do that part. Why do solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, small businesses, why do we do this to ourselves? Why do you think that because you're great at what you do and you want to help people at what you do and you put time and money and energy and effort into becoming fantastic at what you do, why are you making the assumption then that you also know how to grow a business if those two things don't actually have anything to do with each other? I know how to grow a business. By the way, it's what my MBA is in, marketing and leadership. It's what I did in corporate. There are so many things I don't know how to do. Like, the list of what I don't know how to do is so much longer than what I do know how to do. That's why I don't do this by myself.
And it's also good that you recognize that and you don't beat yourself up over it. You're like, I don't know how to do it, but there's somebody that does. And I think that...
It's become a joke. Like, you should see what happens if I try to create an image now for a Facebook. Like, the extent of my graphic design abilities is I can now take a reasonable selfie and put it through a soft light filter. Like, that's it. I don't know how to do it. I can't even get a border around it.
That's okay. AI will be able to help you with that in no time at all.
So I didn't get into that.
Well, basically, you have to just load up a browser at some point or your phone and say, okay, AI, tell me how to get into AI. I mean, it's kind of like that, but
Inception. It's a little bit of an inception.
It is. Yeah, that's a great descriptor of AI. I'm going to tell people that's what the I stands for.
Oh, my God. My assistant had to send me a Loom of how to do something in Loom. So we called it Loomception because she would have sent me a Loom to teach me how to do
it. Let's jump on a Zoom to learn how to use Zoom. You know what? That is so perfect. You know, that makes so much sense. Yeah, that's one of your shining accomplishments in life. That's good. But that's what makes you you. And I think that's why people and your clients resonate with you and share, you know, different ways to describe things. And it just makes it so much more fun.
Well, and I want to bring something to that too, as we're talking about, you know, you had asked me before we started, what am I seeing as a problem out there that we can help people solve? And the other thing that I'm seeing as a problem there, and you said, what makes you you? People don't want to think you're perfect. And I think when we start out, we think we have to be perfect and show this perfect image of what would, you know, let's use random examples. What would a really, really great, perfect bookkeeper say, do, and look like? And so you enter into the marketplace trying to project this image of the perfect bookkeeper because you think that's what's going to get people to hire you. And what I've seen time and time again, what I've learned time and time again, I personally recently moved too far away from it. And I had a meeting this morning with the team about adding me and all my challenges and vulnerability and transparency back into our content. Like, the more, and AI is a really good point about all this, the more you move away from who it is that you are and into who you think you're supposed to be, the less you will attract an audience because you will look and sound like the AI version of everybody else. And so while we have these tools out there that have made the marketplace noisier in terms of volume, to me, it is so much easier than ever before to stand out because everyone, I can tell, you know, there's people, oh, you can't tell if you do a good enough job. You can kind of tell when is it AI and when is it me? Because the degree in journalism aside, I now write the way I speak, which is not proper grammar at all, right? You have this, so hire for horsepower. Don't get trapped trying to do everything, and certainly don't get trapped trying to do everything perfect, because to a fifth grader, a sixth grader is really, really cool. You don't have to be the college graduate version of you, right? You don't have to be this perfection version. You're gonna get what you want and to where you want so much faster with that authenticity and just communicating with people.
Yep. Being authentic is what the world needs us to be. Be us. There's plenty of noise out there and plenty of articles. And you mentioned the journalism thing. You know, there's things that I'll write, and I still have flashbacks to my sixth grade teacher smacking me about something. She didn't literally smack me. That was back in the era when teachers still did that.
Yeah.
And could. I'm not going to get into that debate. But anyway.
I went to Chicago public schools in the 70s and 80s where people hit back. It was a little rough.
Yeah, exactly. It's made us strong. So, Aaron, I've loved this conversation. We could probably talk for, 10 days straight on all of this. But where can people find out more about you and this amazing work you're doing?
If you want more information, I'll make it real easy for you. ConquerYourBusiness.com. If you just go to ConquerYourBusiness.com, you can find me there. You can hit my podcast there. And also there's some free resources there, including an ebook about how to connect as a human first.
That's beautiful. And I think there's never been more important time as connecting as humans. So, that's definitely a book along with everything else you're doing. I highly recommend. So, Aaron, once again, always good to talk with you. And thanks again for being on my show.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Breakfast Leadership Show, part of the Breakfast Leadership Network. Visit breakfastleadership.com for tips on empowering your business and your life.